And I do agree with that. You do need to get out there and you meet with other clubs, because each club have a different, or each individual have a different perspective. And especially if you're going, when you go to the international level, there's so many different people you're trying to persuade with your speeches, right? I've seen sometimes where people have gotten just so overboard on getting so many different inputs that they just get,
Happy Toastmasters New Year. It's now July 2nd, 2017, and my tenure as being Southern Division Director has ended. So what am I going to do? I'm going to compete in contests. That leads into today's discussion with Donald Kelly, a competitor in the International Speech Competition from Florida. Donald and I met in 2016 as he was preparing to go to the Toastmasters International Conference in August 2016. This interview was done in March as he was preparing for this year's contest. He had some great advice for me on the table. You are not unknown to the podcasting world. You were the Toastmaster, the MC of Podcast Movement. That's where I first met you.
That is correct.
Do you think Toastmasters got you into that?
It did. And I'm going to tell you in a couple of ways that it may not seem like it, in a different angle than you may think, but it was definitely correlated. Jared Easley and I are good friends, right? And Jared actually encouraged me to join Toastmasters. We were both working together in a software company. I was a sales rep. He was in the project management team, and we did some demonstrations together. And he would say, like, Donald, man, you need to check out Toastmaster. And my coach, who was a friend of mine, close family friend, she said, you need to check out Toastmasters. So when two good friends that you have tell you to check out Toastmasters, I do that. You do it. And I did. And then Jared we still worked together, and we were talking about different ideas and about creating some business ideas. And then he mentioned the concept of podcasting, which he learned at New Media Expo. So he mentioned that, and I was – so. He went, and then I went with the year after, and fell in love with podcasting as well. And then New Media Expo was dying off, and him and Dan and Gary and some others figured there would be a great opportunity to jump in with doing their own event dedicated towards podcasting, and thus led to them creating Podcast Movement. And since Jared knew me from way back now, that I had – not way back, meaning like 2 years ago or 2 years before this – that I had the speaking skills, and especially Toastmasters, he was like, dude, would you be willing to do some of our introductions and so forth? And that's how it led. So did Toastmasters lead to it? Yes. Did Toastmasters help me to improve my skills to get in front of an audience? Definitely did as well.
When I met you last year at Podcast Movement, you were preparing for the International Speech Contest.
Yes, I was preparing at that point.
How'd you do?
I did third in my semifinals round.
So very good.
It was the first year going. It was fun.
What drives you to compete in contests?
I'm just a competitive person by nature. Ever since I, just like as a kid, played sports and, track and field, you're competing there a lot, and, soccer and football. So I compete. One of the other things, though, about competition, it may not be in a sense that most people think, not in like a egotistical way, but competition makes you become better, right? And I've seen that it seems to be so true, especially in Toastmasters. The more I compete and go against people who are superior with their speaking and their ability to articulate themselves, I see that it pushes me to improve on my capabilities and abilities as well. So I find that to be very, very exciting about competition. And just like overall the adrenaline side, maybe I'm just like a cray-cray like that, but I love the adrenaline of getting on the stage and competing. And then from my debate days in high school, I did speech and debate, which also helps with speaking a lot. But in speech and debate, there's an event called Dramatic Interpretation. and humorous interpretation. And those are pretty much acting, kind of like a speech contest in a sense, but you're not acting, if that makes sense. And so I did that then and did pretty well in high school. So I think that Toastmasters gave me that rebirth. It was a nostalgic moment and kind of brought that back. And I remember how I used to enjoy those competitions. So it brought those same sense back and excitement. So that's why I compete. And but overall, it helps to one to improve and to become better. And you can't become better in a silo.
Or how long does the season go?
Probably about 8-9 months. I think our competitions here started around January timeframe, and then the international contest is usually in August. So you have about 8-9 months in that time period there where you're competing in different levels and different weekends and practicing and so forth.
You practice the same speech? You don't explain the speech process.
Mm-hmm. So the speech process, individuals get to write their, it has to be a unique speech. Basically, you can't copy like a Martin Luther King speech and go deliver that. That's not cool. That's called plagiarism too. So don't do that.
Okay.
But you want to do your own speech. And some people utilize stories from others, but I've seen the best competitors utilize some kind of life experience that you had. And you didn't have to have like a major life experience, like almost got ran over by a freight train or anything like that, and you jump out of the way. It has to be just make something that has a motivation behind it. It could be, for instance, one of my speeches was about my car named Betsy. And it was the fact that old Betsy was my first car and I didn't put oil in it and it leaked oil and it almost died. So one of my speeches was about that experience that I had with Betsy. So you can make whatever your speech is, you can make you want to do. The only requirement when it comes to an international speech, it can't be a speech that you have to be a Toastmaster. And I think you have to given from your competent communicator, your first 6 speeches, I believe.
Yes.
So if you compete at international level, so you have to give your first 6 speeches, and then you have to create this unique speech. And that speech could be used in the area, excuse me, in the club, the area, the division, and the district level, and even the semifinals. However, if you were to make it to the international level, that same speech can't be used. You have to have a whole new speech. Usually when individuals go to the people who've competed multiple times and then go to the semifinals, they have probably like 2 or 3 speeches in their pocket that they have memorized, or at least 2, so that they can have one ready for the World Championship of Public Speaking.
There's an idea in Toastmasters that you can only give a speech one time, and then you have to write a brand new speech for the next speech. But if you're competing, you're going to want to repeat a presentation numerous times and get feedback from a lot of different people and a lot of different clubs so that you can improve your speech and refine it and make it the best it can possibly be. Is that what you did?
Yeah, yes and no. So there are a lot of great opportunities to gain advice from others. And I do agree with that. You do need to get out there and you meet with other clubs, because each club have a different, or each individual have a different perspective. And especially if you're going, when you go to the international level, there's so many different people you're trying to persuade with your speeches, right? I've seen sometimes where people have gotten just so overboard on getting so many different inputs that they just get crazy at the end because they don't know where to go. But you need to make sure that I recommend to anyone to get a coach, even if it's someone who's not paid, but somebody like a friend that you can be a coach that can guide you and that you can bounce ideas off. Like, oh, I competed I practiced at this club, or I gave the speech and they gave this idea. And like, okay, well, great. They didn't, maybe that's awesome. It ties with it. But based on the context, probably that advice is not so good. Leave that one on a shelf, but because if you do take everything, you mess up. But I feel very strongly that as a speaker, I want to practice as much as I possibly can. I do want to get in front of the other people, but I do utilize my coach that she can help me to make sure I use the best advice in my speeches. The other thing that I feel as well is that different competition, different strategies and different districts and so forth. One district that I'm in, I did something one year where I did a new speech every different level until I got to, and I use the same. So for instance, the club area was a different speech. Area level was a different speech. Division level was a different speech. And the district, I think the same speech was used at division and districts. Yeah, same speech. And I used that in my semifinal round when I went to the World Championships. That was last year, yeah. That's when I did that one. But then the other times I've done one speech all the way and just like refined it and tweaked it and so forth. Because each time the speech does tweak a little bit, it may not be because I don't get up there and just do verbatim, because you got to make sure you utilize your audience. You have to listen and feel. And I'll give you one example. The first year I competed with the district competition, the humorous contest, I did a speech and it was about my losing my cell phone. Each time I gave that speech, it was different in some, it was the same speech, but just something was a little different about it. And the finals, I was at the district competition, and this lady had gone before me, and she had done a speech about this gal who was like an HR nightmare. She wore like fishnet stockings for an interview, and she was like, gave her a name like Shaniqua. So everyone was like, oh my goodness, who is this Shaniqua? That's horrible. I wouldn't hire her at all. So when I got up to give my speech, and this is where you have to be cognizant and you have to put a little bit of element of surprise in there. I gave my speech on just again losing a cell phone. And what I did was I started off and there was a scene in my speech where it was like, you know, we had a party and at the party, everybody was there. So I was naming off some of my friends. And then I said, and Shaniqua was there, because she sounded like a party gal. So everyone started cracking up. It wasn't like a change my speech and, you know, but it's just that you, there's an element there for like 1 second where I was able to incorporate the feel of what was the audience already knew about. And it was a major contributor with like, as far as getting people all excited and riled up and was laughing. Added some time to my speech, but you know, laugh. Realize things in a moment, or maybe after a competition, you realize, you know, we need to take this part out or whatnot, and you just tweak that. So that's how my speeches have evolved.
As your final words about about competing.
My final words about competing. Anyone who performs really well in competition, they don't do it alone. And I'll repeat that again. Anyone who performs really well in competitions, don't do it alone. Look at all the world champion of public speaking. None of them did it alone. They all had a coach. And if you look at all of the individuals who compete in your districts, most of the times who do well and go to the next level, if they really get to, you know, go to further, it's because they have a coach. And that coach could, again, be a friend. It could be a paid coach, could be a spouse. But you have to have people in your corner, because this stuff gets pretty, it can get pretty lonely at times, even though you may think that it's like, you know, you're out there, you're, people see you in a different light, in a sense, when you compete. And, you know, you just need to have your team. You got to have your team that's going to help you and to guide you. You just can't be successful within that silo. It's probably the best thing I would share on competition.
Thank you, Donald Kelly.
Anytime.
My thanks to Donald Kelly for giving us a great interview and a lot of really good information about competing in contests. In fact, this interview was so good that I've split it into two parts, but part two will not be on the table. It's going to be at our other podcast, Toastmasters101.net. There you'll find Donald's recommendations for new people coming into the Toastmasters contest world. I've shared with you my plans for the coming year. I'm going to compete in every contest I possibly can. What about you? What are your goals for the coming year? Obviously, on the table is going to have to change. With the new Pathways program coming out, I don't know what's going to happen next. I know I'm going to go for the next DTM. What about you? When does your district roll out the new program? There are so many questions we have left to answer, but I want to finish up with On the Table with plenty of interviews with DTMs about the advanced manuals they love. So if you're a DTM and you're willing to talk to me about the advanced manual that you loved, contact me here at the website and we'll see what we can do to put something together. Our music today is from Incompetech.com. As always, this is a podcast production of Toastmasters District 10. Meeting adjourned.